How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Oh, we were... Baby doll, did you just get those?
What?
Oh.
These 3D glasses?
I was talking to the mask.
Oh, the mask.
But certainly you can answer if you'd like.
Oh, what? Baby.
No, I mean, these 3D glasses?
There you go. Sorry, listeners. We were doing I was trying to do a thing, and it fell apart.
My blood sugar's probably dangerously high right now. I had donuts for breakfast.
Baby doll.
Freddy's holding the stranger's two mask, and he put 3D glasses on it.
We were in that.
Yeah, you guys were in that.
Balls deep in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best reason to see it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's better reasons to see it.
I haven't seen it.
If you like, that was fun.
If you like Moita?
Yeah.
I like Moita.
I love Christina Hendricks.
I love Christina Hendricks. I love Moita.
If you watch the extended cut, you can see my back acting.
Yeah.
Your backting?
My backting. Still not my fronting.
One day.
One day I'll get to the fronting.
Ah.
Oh, speaking of.
Put you on Front Street.
We were watching trailer. I am Freddie. That's Kelly.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
we should share our names, I guess.
You're
stealing the hosting job.
I was just trying to get to the story
that co-hosting.
Freddie was trying to Amy me.
Yeah.
What?
You know.
Amy me me?
Amy's here.
Amy me me.
Yes.
Mikey B is here.
I'm Mikey B.
So, and as Freddie mentioned, he's Freddie, I'm Kelly.
So, speaking of strangers, John D. Wagner, our buddy who produced that movie, we were surfing around looking at random trailers last night. And the trailer for Tiger finally came out, which is the boxing movie he produced. And
Tiger.
And I just remember him telling us the stories about Mickey Rourke and his little dog.
Two.
Little dog.
And how the dog like wasn't supposed to be part of the movie, but Mickey Rourke brings it everywhere. So, in the trailers, there's all this... He has this little Pomeranian.
Yeah.
He's like a boxing coach. Aww.
And John, I'm sure he doesn't care about me telling the story. He's pretty laid back about that stuff. You can slap my hand if you need to later. But the thing about, he said that they had to do like reshoots and the dog wasn't available or Mickey Rourke could come in. They had to have a double form or something, but they had a stuffed Pomeranian in a lot of the scenes. And I feel like a couple of moments in the trailer were that stuffed Pomeranian.
Yeah. If you ever see that, that's all you're going to be doing is playing spot the stuffed Pomeranian.
Yeah. How are animal actors compensated? Is it by their owners?
I didn't even think about that. So. Do you think you have to compensate an animal actor if it's just the owner is like, I won't not have my dog in the scene?
Well, you know, on Bob's Burgers, Gail getting Mr. Business, an agent, she was going to get all that money.
I'm going to text John and be like, was Mickey Rourke's Pomeranian... compensated for his appearance in Tiger.
In that instance, Mickey Rourke probably just wanted the dog on set, so he probably wasn't compensated.
Emotional support animal. That's all animals.
A trained animal who is cast, their owners probably receive some kind of compensation.
You think?
I'm sure in his contract.
You're certain?
I'm certain of it.
Okay.
There's like, you know, because a few
things
budget.
I'm certain of, but you're certain of this one.
Because there's animal agents and training.
That's true.
And
but then wrangling. Like the agency probably gets paid.
If they own the animal. Yeah. Whoever owns the animal.
I mean, ever since the sad story of Benji.
Ever since that.
Listeners, if you know.
Timmy, come home.
Let us know.
I think it'd be funny if someone got a little dog and named it too. And they could say, this is my little dog, too. And they could say,
that's
get my little
brilliant.
Dog too.
Well, I hope someone's done it.
You inspired it.
Yeah?
When you said,
that's too. Probably why I said it was brilliant.
You guys are the perfect team.
Hey, yep.
Did you hear that, listeners?
Loud high five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Blistering loud.
Blistering.
Blistering loud?
Blistering.
Breath.
Blistering. Don't let you.
Oh, it's a bush morning.
All that being said,
R.I.P. George H.W. Bush. Speaking of, we're just like clocking along.
Look at us.
How come Nickelback gets to keep going, but Bush doesn't?
Oof, I don't know.
Bush is better.
Bush is better. Mm. I mean, and I don't even like Bush in many ways.
But it's better.
It is clearly better. Like, almost anything is. And I know it's very trendy to say you don't like Nickelback, but if you go back, it was trendy like 8 years ago. I'm such a Nickelback hate hipster.
Yeah.
That you can find me bitching about them on like
in old photographs.
In a MySpace, if you dig up Pike's old MySpace, which it's still out there.
There is a picture of you with the Union Army.
Yes. <that's right.
laughs> Are you armchair quarterbacking about Nickelback?
Well, I'm saying in like 2005 or 6 I went on a long rant
about why
Nickelback is horrible on Pike's blog.
One of my ex-bandmates from back in the day was really like his taste in music were Stained, Nickelback,
Nickelback,
a lot of Creed,
Doug.
Yeah, I was gonna spare his name because I didn't want to reveal that he had terrible taste.
A guy named Doug.
Have you noticed there's like a backlash comeback on Dave Matthews Band? Has anybody been like catching
you
the
mean,
wind
like,
on
we're
like
we're hating it again?
No, we're not hating. Now we love that we used to hate.
Mike.
It's popular to say that you did like Dave Matthews Band, even though it became a douche band.
Is it because it's brave?
People were like, "That is so brave."
I think it is.
Like your Shmi costume.
Well, I've heard several arguments about why Dave Matthews Band was a great band, and for some people,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, technically, very talented.
Instrumentally,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's no arguing that those are great musicians.
Right.
However,
content-wise,
it fell into the wrong hands.
Like that poop off their
like the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Just like the poop off the bus.
Yes, I don't. But the bus. There are some Dave Matthews songs I do like. I think Gravedigger is very clever. Song.
Yeah, clever. Clever Matthews.
It's cleverly written.
Clever.
The lyrics are clever.
Clever girl.
I just stay away from jam bands mostly.
Mostly.
Do you?
Yeah.
Strawberry jam bands?
Oh, I like how they smell.
I like two songs by the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, sure.
They'll always survive.
But like, when they start to get just windy.
Just two, though. Yeah.
The constant guitar riffs and such.
Yeah.
I want to start a jam band named Smucker's Welch.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Wouldn't it be fun?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll be in it. I could jam for days.
Yeah.
Yes, jam is always superior to jelly.
And we'll do a concert.
What about a
to benefit marmals, and we'll call it Marmalade.
I like
What's
marmalade.
A marmal?
Why is it so hard to find marmalade?
It's not hard. You can only find like one brand though.
If you go to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They bring out a basket of jams. You'll never find a marmalade.
Yeah, well, you mean like out in restaurants, marmalade's hard to find. But if you go to the grocery store, just keep some in your purse like Beyonce's hot sauce.
Hillary Clinton's hot sauce too.
Yeah.
What's that fruit? It's not jelly. It's not jam. Could you please pass the jelly?
Planner all fruit.
Yeah.
What's that fruit? Sounds like a game show for Married with Children.
I've been watching that. That show's terrible. Oh. It's terrible. It makes me feel bad.
Does it?
And yet, I keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Push through it.
Does it make you feel bad because it's funny and you shouldn't be laughing at it because we're at a different time now?
A little bit of that, but mostly like, oh gosh, like people really are like hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
At the jokes.
Hooting. Hey, Peggy, fat women and gays. Peggy.
He kind of...
Bathroom visits.
That's kind of like... I feel like that was Kermit the Frog's audition reel for Al Bundy.
Peggy. Al Bundy here. I'm a shoe salesman. I would love to see Miss Piggy cooking food with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
I bet there was a Piggy Bundy.
Yeah.
Piggy Bundy!
I bet there had to be a Piggy Bundy.
No pig.
There's got to be a photo shoot That'll of this somewhere.
Yeah.
Where's like a
Piggy Bundy?
Those two as Peg and Al.
I think so.
Would Janice be Kelly Bundy? Coming down the steps like,
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh,
you guys.
So many high fives today.
It's fantastic.
My theory about, maybe it's not my theory. Maybe I read it from somewhere. I don't know. The Al Bundy grows up to be the Modern Family.
His character on Modern
Family. He's Walter White.
Is he Walter White? Because he's got the gay sons now. We were talking about this earlier, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's learning something. We're all evolving.
Yeah.
It was funny then. It's funny now. It's just not evolving. We know it's not Right.
We know.
As right. Yeah. We're smarter now. We're smarter people.
We're just better.
Yeah.
Progress, not perfection.
We're sensitive. Yeah.
So that's why I balance it out with Star Trek. Because then that's like
it's all inclusive. Yeah.
And good and kind.
Yeah.
And compassionate.
It's all about, you know, yeah. growth as a mm-hmm. human race.
Yep.
As a human race.
That's how I live my life now. Patrons.
Yeah, girl.
Your stuff is in the mail.
Oh.
You guys should start getting stuff.
Yeah.
Let us know if you don't get your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got for you.
Stuff it.
It's good stuff.
Right, Freddy?
Yeah.
What?
We had a good time. I was just in the back of my mind. I was thinking, what if I woke John up with the message that says was Mickey Rourke's Pomeranian compensated for his parents.
John's got kids. He's awake. It's 11:30 on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Are they little baby kids? Though.
I have no idea.
But that makes me giggle a little to myself to think that that's the first thing you saw in the morning.
Because I have kids, and a lot of times I sleep till noon.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, Patreon. Fantastic. We had the best time at the post office with a man named John.
We were there forever. I could feel people in line behind me, their eyes burning into my back.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, what do you want me to do? I got to mail this shit.
I love that you waited till December 1st, the most popular month for mailing things, to do a major mailing job.
On a Saturday morning.
We rope dropped it.
The story in my head, if I was standing behind you two.
Oh. You'd be so mad.
I'd be so mad.
But
that's why you don't make stories in your head.
Yeah,
you don't challenge them. Because look at the beautiful thing that happened.
Yeah, we had a...
All our patrons' mailboxes got stuffed.
We stuffed it, baby.
You stuffed it hard.
We got to chat about Cameo with John at the post office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, word up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And he said something. He said, wow, you guys are really loved.
Yeah.
Aw.
And you're like...
felt nice.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that. Beautiful.
There's a few of you we still need details from, but you should check your messages on Patreon.
Get the deets out.
So make sure you check that. And Brandon, I noticed I think I had your old address, so I pulled yours and I can deliver it in person if you want.
You just
so
put them on
the street. That's what you wanted to do anyway.
That you said that. Yeah. So cool.
Smell your hair.
Oh.
Smell you later.
Smell your hair.
Smell what?
Are you flirting with him right now?
Come over and smell Brandon's hair and give him this package.
Are you okay? You had too many donuts. Yeah. You know what happens when Freddie has multiple donuts before a show?
What happens?
Nothing good.
Oh, I don't know. I remember some donut shows in the past.
Big.
Donut shows in the past.
We should get some money, Pig. We're going to go out and we're going to talk about fat women. Pig, these women. They're so fat.
We should do a clip show and just call it Donut Shows.
Donut Shows.
Oh, best of the Donut
Shows. Just best of the Donut Shows. Find all the Donut Shows. Let's use Patreon money to hire us a PA to sift through our episodes and find all the Donut Shows.
It's time to make the Donuts Shows.
I told Amy we needed an intern.
And I was like, for what?
I was like, for all the wonderful things they do.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of clip shows, our friends at Bloody Good Horror just celebrated their 500th episode, and it was a clip show of all their greatest hits. So congratulations, dudes.
They're so much better at commemorating things than we are.
They're way more organized.
They have commemorative plates.
They do.
I remember when they
all work at the Mint
with Eric's face on them.
The Franklin Mint.
Yeah.
Their mint and shit.
I have lots of memories of their early years, our early years, hanging out at Whorehound Weekend.
Those are really good memories.
Yeah.
Going, where's Eric? Oh, he's napping? Okay.
We had to share tables.
Yeah. He's at Subway.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to take his nap.
He's going to take a nap.
Eric, look, when you get your package, there's a little something extra in there for you from Halloween 40.
He got an extra prezzy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sorry, listeners.
Per your request,
now you're
Eric.
Jealous.
He asked for a present, though.
Yeah.
He's like, Daddy, what'd you bring me? And I was like, nothing, Pig.
Were you good?
I'm made of money, Pig. Merrick.
How is everybody else's week?
Pretty good.
Anything out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie and I went and saw The Possession of Hannah Grace.
Oh, by the way, very good.
Was it
not
good?
Very good?
No, it was very good.
I'd say it was good.
You cut two sequences out of that movie, and it's a really great horror film.
Yeah.
And I gave it a solid C+. plus.
So let me ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
Is this just like every other movie, the possession of blankety blank?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Because
they keep making that title, the possession of blankety blank, the possession of blankety blank, the exorcism of blankety blank.
Well, the original title of this movie was Cadaver.
It's a good name.
And the reason why, and I think I have a theory about the two scenes in the movie that are sequences of scenes that can be removed from the movie. I think they were added in after a test screening, is my guess. I can't verify that yet.
Yeah.
However, it's about a cop who has become an addict after her partner is killed.
Mm-hmm.
Classic story, right?
Oh,
tale as old as time.
And she is in a 12-step program, and her sponsor has gotten her a job working the graveyard shift in a morgue because she'll be working when everybody's out partying.
Right.
And that will help her in her recovery.
Plus, when you're in a morgue, it's just...
It's just you and your thoughts.
You're not good with smoking the ganj or whatever.
Yeah, whatever she is doing.
She's not addicted to the ganj. I don't know why that was the thing I picked.
No. Xanax is a problem.
Yeah, Xanax.
And drinking.
And drinking. Mm. So it's her first night, and a body comes in, and it is a girl who they found on the street, cut up and burned and all messed up, and a very creepy effect as far as the makeup effects, real eerie and realistic looking, and weird stuff starts happening in the morgue. Now, I think the thing that was added in later is people, as the movie progresses, the weirder shit starts happening. I think later, this is just my speculation, that they probably screen it for a test audience, and they're like, we want more exposition. So they added an opening sequence where there's this exorcism, and this character, this dead body, she dies as part of the exorcism. And then it's 3 months later, and the body is now being brought into the morgue. And the weird stuff is
hijinks ensue.
And then there's a sequence later in the film, I don't want to spoil anything, that brings back more exposition that wouldn't have even been needed had they just trimmed
out.
He's right.
It really does like kind of kill any pacing. It just not kill.
It's spookier without it, is all. That's all. I mean, leave the mystery. It was more
it would
be
fun.
There without
like it just I feel like I just kind of snuck out in the theaters. I didn't even really hear much about it, but it was fun.
Did you guys like Last Shift? Did you see that?
I love Last Shift.
It's a lot like Last Shift.
Yeah, that's very what I was thinking when you explained it to me.
The atmosphere, everything. Actually, I thought it was the same director. It was so similar, and then he wasn't. Some guy.
Huh. Last Shift is a recommend, listeners.
Yeah.
Indeed you do.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Spooky.
But definitely, I would say go see The Possession of Hannah Grace in the theater so that we get more spooky movies.
Yeah. I wish they'd stop titling movies that, though.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It gets muddled.
Yeah, well, when we got there, I said, can I get two tickets for The Exorcism of That Lady?
Yeah.
And she was like, The Possession of Hannah Grace? And I was like, uh-huh. You're my favorite recording artist, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Boise, Idaho. Listeners, thank you for listening to us for all this time.
Going
towards a 13th.
Oh my gosh,
big 13.
I think we need to do something special for 13.
I think it every year.
Yeah, and
I
we never do.
I plan to make a lazy thing, and then I'm like, I didn't.
Do you think it's because every week is special when we're together?
I do think that.
Oh.
I'm like, we don't celebrate those days because every day is our 13th anniversary.
So, Kelly, you recorded the theme to the show on our Facebook page. You made a little video. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. I did.
With your uke.
A little acoustic uke action.
Yeah, a little acoustic uke.
Is there such a thing as an electric ukulele?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Absolutely.
Technically, I don't want to. The only reason I'm even saying this, I call it a ukulele, as all of you do, but I don't want like a nerdy person to come back and be like, technically a mini guitar. Because technically because it's six, it's strung with six strings.
Oh.
Technically, it's like a guitar-a-lele or a
guitar-a-lele.
There's like a cute name for it, but basically it's like a mini guitar. But it is, I think of it as a ukulele.
Pinkly Taurus.
A pinkly Taurus.
Mm.
But thank you.
It's like a mini pearl.
Mm-hmm. Guitar. So if you wanted to see me sing the theme song. With just a little...
I don't believe you had a shirt on, or did you
have a shirt on? No, he had a shirt on.
I had a shirt on.
It did look like you just woke up, which I think adds to the whole experience.
Well, I always look like that.
You should smear a little Vaseline over the lens, and then it would be like a Jewel video.
I know.
Oh. Jewel.
I have to get some Vaseline to do that with.
Well, you know, like, or what's another?
I could rub some KY on it.
There you go.
That's what your hands are for.
I know.
They're not your own.
Can you record? Can you record a version like the Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Oh yeah.
Bling bling. You can be like, ooh, Frankenstein. Can you put on like 200 pounds and then we'll put you in a Hawaiian shirt?
I got to tan up.
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be great.
I'd get tan.
You have the real tiny little ukulele and you could wail like a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well.
For me.
And then they can use it in every single thing.
I love yeah. that. Mm-hmm. Great. Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready to move on or did you have any more bits and bobs? A banter.
I love bits and bobs.
Do you love bits and bobs? Hoodles and what's-its?
Yeah. Oh,
we got some friends in, I know our segment for Disney Talk, we got some friends in Disney right now.
We do?
Yeah, there are people from Disney. I know I was tagging people out as people were coming in that are fans of the show. Oh, yep. Goodness. I should name all of them, but there are just so many that I've forgotten.
Congratulations to Jacob and Katie Trevino on their wedding.
Yay!
And now they're in Disney. Word. So there are some friends that are in Disney currently.
Yeah,
that's right.
Currently, Disney's doing Holiday of the Festivals.
Holiday of the Festivals.
Festivals of the holidays.
There it is. There it is.
Mike is sleeping.
I came back. I got so much spirit.
Today is festival
day. Yes, I
day.
Do. There's a lot of festival. A lot of
every
spirit.
Day is
today is the mummy's day. Every day is our 13th anniversary festival yes. holiday.
Mm-hmm. Holidays. It's always a holiday. Every day
celebrate.
Is like,
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we took a holiday.
Did you fart? Messes. Was that
no,
your chair?
No, it was the chair. Mm-hmm. I would admit it.
We flocked our tree last night.
What's a flocking?
We pulled it down from the attic and we flocked it right in the living room.
I watched you flock it.
Yeah, oh. Mike watched from the couch.
I did watch from the couch. But you said I was going to help, but you said it was too wet and some of the flocking would get on me.
Yeah, there's white everywhere.
I didn't want to be dripping. A flocking bystander. Just
dripping on the floor.
If you get that flock in your eyes,
yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. It turned out
some
nice.
People pay for that.
Flock in the eyes
mm-hmm.
or flock on yeah. the face?
Both.
I feel flock like flock in the eyes plow. Is very specific.
It is very specific. That's why they have to pay for it.
Okay. Yeah.
Flock in the face, that's a dime a dozen. Maybe but yeah. like, flock in the by. Eyes. That's like somebody that wants a little bit of
flocka.
Freddie insisted that he wanted to flock the tree. Flocking means you spray fake snow on it.
Yeah.
Skeet, skeet, skeet. Skeet.
Oh.
We had a very generic fake.
It was fake looking fake what tree. What do you need out of life?
A better tree.
Oh my God.
But we did. We made it look so much better. We got two strands of garland from Michael's that have poinsettias on them, right?
Uh huh.
Is that right, poinsettia?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And
poinsettia.
Or if you're an old lady, poinsettia.
Oh yeah. And we flocked it. And
flocked
we
it hard.
Dressed it in garland.
Mm-hmm.
It garland? Sounds like you're getting ready to eat it for yeah. You're like we flocked it, we dressed it.
Yeah.
You and we served it up hot.
You went non-traditional Etsy style and left the branches pushed up. I've noticed.
Well, so did Andy. And I feel like Andy was judging everything I was doing. I wish he was here to verbally attack me about how I put the tree together because I could feel it in him coming up where he's like, I'm going to go in there and fix what you're doing wrong.
Looks nice.
He did. But, he rearranged some of the ornaments that we
yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. And I was like, it's okay, Andy. It's okay. And, but yeah, I was like, well, I watched, I actually went out. This is how lame I am. I
oh
went out.
Oh my God, listeners.
I didn't like how sparse the tree looked. And I found a video on how to fluff your Christmas tree.
Mm.
And there was a 90 pound gay
I got
man.
My Christmas tree fluffed this morning.
Did you?
Oh,
I tried to.
Dear.
And yeah, I was shot down.
Oh my God.
So
it's like the opposite of Alan Pegg.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the flip.
No pig. She's like, no Fred. I went to fluff the tree. Well, I watched the video of the 90 pound gay man. And he's like, it's like 6 minutes of him fluffing.
But he fluffs up.
Yeah. And the tree, the trick he had was you don't pull the branches all the way down.
Yeah.
Because that's the mistake most people make is pulling the branches all the way down. I'm doing this.
Nobody can see
Freddy's doing this.
I'm doing this. Do you guys see it?
Yeah.
And
if you do, oh God.
Yeah, if you pull the branches all the way down, apparently that's what makes the tree look
Whatever.
Not so full.
You gotta pull them down to get back up.
Does it look okay, though?
I always...
I think it's cute.
It's an experiment.
It was very... I was very spirity in the Morris place last night.
It was Christmassy up in this bitch.
Yeah.
I always pull them in different directions.
Yeah?
Like the little branch thing.
When you're flocking?
Yeah. Well, I have never flocked.
Pre-flocked. Yeah.
I've never flocked, believe it or not.
It's a flock.
I mean, I know it seems like
I have a flocking contest.
It seems like I've been around this big old world, but I've never flocked.
Can we end this flocking conversation?
We can. Sure. Although I feel like Andy's the only one who would tell me the truth if it was messed up. So, Andy, if you listen to this episode...
What does it... Your tree can be whatever you want it to be.
Give me the straight dope on my Christmas tree, Andy.
Who are you trying to impress? What rules do you think you have to follow, man? This is just life.
Rules are for fools.
The Christmas tree is a sacred symbol of the holiday season, but isn't there like some kind of cult background for...
It's pagan.
Is it pagan?
Yeah.
Pagan. Yeah. Why is it pagan?
The tradition started... I think it used to be they would just... It's part of nature worship, I think.
Yeah.
But okay. Let me find out.
It's bringing a part of like the evergreen into your home to symbolize
the everness.
Yeah.
Sure.
Keeping the spirit alive.
When you did that thing that you just did, Amy, I thought you were going to blow a whistle to stop this. Like
flag on player.
Like,
all right.
Flag on the play.
Do we have to keep yapping while Freddy's Googling something?
No, well, let's move the fuck on.
Let's move the flock on.
Flock it.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for straight to video Russian roulette.
Welcome back.
So Christmas trees.
Oh, Lord.
The whole thing with them is that in ancient times... People thought in the winter, during the winter solstice, that the sun god would become weak and sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they would bring trees, evergreen trees, into their homes to remind them that the verdant nature will return in the spring.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
So the Germans co-opted that.
Yeah.
And made it part of Christmas.
I see. Mikey B watched a movie.
I sure did. It's called Corbin Nash.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And I really liked it.
Oh, shit.
I did. It's super fun. So Corbin Nash is a vampire kind of tale turned a little bit.
Oh.
It's real Blade-like, which I think we thought you can pretty much tell from just reading the short synopsis of the thing. but basically, it features this guy who finds out he's a police detective, and he's trying to figure out the story of his missing parents. And
this is like Blade.
Yes. It forces him to become a police officer. And so during his police officer training, he ends up having somewhat of a mentor who then shares with him that he's actually has the lineage of a vampire hunter.
Oh.
Ah. And so there's a lot of great actors in this film. Malcolm McDowell, for one, plays a spirit of God. And he's there to let...
The spirit of God?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Well, ish.
Okay.
Ish.
Kind of a George Burns, oh God, you devil situation going on there.
Well, he's like, it's very much like the traditional scary religious person
God.
To punish those who have done evil or who are working for the bad guy.
Old Satan's, Testament.
Yes.
I am Malcolm McDowell. I don't have a good Malcolm McDowell.
So Malcolm McDowell was great in this. Rutger Hauer is in this.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Bruce Davison is in this.
I feel like these guys all should like be in every... They should make like a weird horror movie. You know like those old guy movies they make, like Space Cowboys Sweat Hogs or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
They need to make one with these guys. Well, I guess they did.
Use guys. They did. They did. So I'm going to say like this movie would be absolute garbage if it wasn't for the actors in this film, because it is definitely like they've basically given a bunch of actors this crazy little story and said just chew the shit out of it, and they have literally chewed the shit out of it.
Nice.
So it's all about the acting. The main character, Dean Jagger, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Kind of the stone-faced guy. He's not the he's not really who you're going to be watching. Who you're really going to be watching in this film is Corey Feldman,
oh,
who plays Queenie. And he is so awesome to watch in this film. I'm not even kidding. Like, I look forward to every moment that he was in the film. I'm not going to spoil it, though there's not really much to spoil. You can probably already figure out the entire story just from watching it. But you need to watch this film just to see, A, Malcolm McDowell and Rutger Hauer, but really, really, Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman plays like a transvestite vampire who is really doing Silence of the Lambs, the guy from that.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill. He's really doing that all through the film, like the voice and everything. Like,
he's like, tell me I'm pretty. Tell me I'm real pretty.
He does that through the entire film, and I'm telling you, it's glorious to watch. So
his Stand By Me acting chops still on point.
Yeah. I went back to read a little bit about this film, and I guess it's like from the second that he was on the set till the end of the movie, he stayed in character the entire time.
That's not a surprise at all. That might just be how he is.
That yep. ties in with our main attraction this week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So
how he is.
I don't know. There's I guess a lot I could say about this film, but not a lot. Cause you just really need to watch it. It's worth it just to see him. Corey. Yeah. See Corey Feldman. It's not long. I think it's an hour.
See Corey run.
Yes. An hour and a half, but the acting in this, I mean, again, that's where this is at. The story itself is pretty contrived. But acting is great. So yeah, recommend it. I recommend it. Oh, and Fernanda Romero, she plays sort of the love interest, prostitute, stripper, whatever in the film. She does a great job too. So it's worth watching. Just watch it. Watch it for the acting. So
I will. I have a politically incorrect story. I don't know how politically incorrect it is. I'll tell you guys at the break about Corey Feldman.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
He went for it in this film. He really did.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
He was like, I'm going to be
deserves good things Buffalo in life, Bill. I guess.
He did. He yeah. Full makeup and all of that. There's even like a male on male kind of BJ scene, and he goes for it. Doesn't and there's no like, I don't feel like it's all that problematic portrayal either. So it's good. Pretty much yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, I liked it.
She really fun. Fat vampire.
Yeah. Tell me I'm pretty.
You're gonna hear a lot of that.
I loved him in the trailer. He in the trailer even was the thing where I'm like, wow.
I didn't. I should have watched the trailer. I didn't watch the trailer.
Well, but you saw the whole movie though.
So. Yeah, I saw the whole movie. So you got to see what he looks like. I mean, they did he's going for
it's
it.
It's great. I mean, yeah. I love. Actually, he is one of those performers where I know I'm in for a good time no matter what he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music.
I'm not saying like he needs a. Oh, I meant movies. Oh,
okay.
Acting. Although I had fun watching him on the Today Show.
So
I came out of that saying that was fun.
I got a movie gun. It's got a movie bullet in it, Kelly.
Oh boy.
Ready?
Do it.
You live, Freddy. Yeah. You live, me.
Boom. Dead.
Oh no.
I know, right? It's terrible when that happens. Mm-hmm. I get to watch a little film called Cam. On Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, I saw
making the rounds, lots of people talking about it, so I'm pretty interested.
Mm-hmm. It's a spinoff from Modern Family where Cam and Mitchell split up and Cam goes to the city and becomes like a Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh. Has to rescue his dad from Peggy Bundy.
Yeah.
He's gone back to his old ways.
After a lookalike takes over her account, a cam girl with a growing fan base sets out to identify the mysterious culprit and reclaim her own identity. Stars Jan from The Office.
Oh, Melora Hardin.
Oh, never mind. That's not her then. It's the lady that says Melora, and I thought it was her, but I was
It's wrong. Not Melora Krieger, is
it's
it?
It's a common name.
It's Melora Walters.
Okay.
All those people named
Melora.
It could
Melora. Be her.
It's not, though.
Who the fuck knows? So thank you so much. We'll be right back.
All right. This week's Man Shark is Reign of Fire from 2002. This is how we commemorated 9/11 the prior year.
This is how we do it.
Well, this is how the British did it.
How the British commemorated it. They blamed it on dragons.
They did.
Yeah. They don't understand real stuff over there.
There be dragons.
They always think it's sea monsters and everything.
And dragons.
So, Reign of Fire.
Sometimes witches.
This is from Rob Bowman of X-Files fame.
Ooh.
And I think he did Elektra, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, well, should have just left it at X-Files.
But he did direct the X-Files movie.
Both of them, right?
Fight the Future. I don't know if it was the second one or not.
He was a producer on the
Christian Bale.
Electric Nachos. Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
He's our star. He's Denton. He's he's Quinn.
Quinn.
Amber Crombie and Fitch. And they have a little colony of survivors who are, what, three generations in since the dragons were found in this big giant void?
I think it's one.
I think it's just one.
Because he was there as a little kid when...
It's the second generation. So there are children who are born into a world with dragons, I guess is what I was trying to say.
Which, when we get to that later, I feel like the scene... Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah. As a child, his mom is a minor. I know that's confusing. You're like, what if his mom's underage? No, she's a minor as an underground work.
With an E.
She's an underground worker, which is what the politically correct term is now.
She's a subterranean worker.
Yeah.
Which, the opening of this movie, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah. And they're digging around. They find this big void. And what's in the void?
What's in the void?
Is a big old dragon.
The only thing, can I tell you, what the thing that occurred to me during this scene when, like, the kind of asshole miner guy is like, won't you go look down there? So many safety violations.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this kid doesn't even have a fucking hard hat on. That guy has a hard hat.
Also, they don't even know what's on the other side of it.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you go poke around in that mysterious hole?
Yeah, he lights a cigarette up. You can't light cigarettes up in caves. Well, there's gases.
That's supposed to be 2008. The movie was made in 2002, so you would think they'd be a little more safety precautious.
You think? When deregulation under the Trump administration.
Ah, that's what it is. That makes sense. Yeah. Wow. Actually, 1981.
Obama. That would have been Obama. But this is...
No, it would have been Tony Blair.
Tony Romo.
But then when the kid, like, does the thing, everyone just, like, looks at the guy that told him to go do the thing and is like, oh, man. That's not cool. Why'd you do that? You
dipshit.
You doofus.
So the dragon money shots in the kid's face.
Yeah.
And
makes his eyes be red,
which I think is supposed to be like almost like a fuel or gasoline type of material, right?
Yeah,
is how they breathe the fire, as they spit out like,
and then it ignites their throat, opens up and lets the oxygen in, and it ignites.
Yeah
There's
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love the dragons.
Yeah. And
I like this movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah,
but I like it.
But when you think it's 2002, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe had I seen this when it... I had never seen it.
I have not heard either.
So if I had seen it in the theater when it came out, I might have been more like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
Where now I'm like, Pacific Rim.
Definitely supposed to be an epic movie, lots of technical pieces, which it still does look pretty good, even though it's fairly old at this point.
Yeah, I love that how they entertained the kids.
That's okay. So that's what I was telling you I was going to wait for. I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
This was actually for me one of the, because like I said, I like this movie. I wanted to like love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I only like it. But like, this is one of the scenes that made me really like it, because it was such a sweet moment where, like, in these sort of post-apocalyptic movies, everybody's usually so grim and like everything is just like, all you do is get up and prepare for death and then you go to sleep for 2 hours and you get back up. And they have this scene where they reenact Star Wars for all the kids. Like, they're trying to keep these kids.
Yeah. So this is fast forward, what, like, how many ever years back now? Yeah, this after is the world dragons. Of dragons. Yeah, so
the kid who got the dragon goo in his eye is now leading the
kids. Now he's Bale. Christian Bale.
He's
now
basically James Brolin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He looks like James Brolin in this to me
a bit.
A lot. Like, almost exactly. Like, I thought it was James Brolin. Like, I was like, did this movie get made in the 70s and it was James Brolin?
Yeah. It was the Amityville Horrors, the cut footage from that.
Yeah. but they reenact Star Wars for little kids. And it's like this idea that they still want kids to be kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's this really sweet, like, we're trying to preserve a little bit of, like, normalcy.
Yeah,
like while we try to figure out how to fucking deal with these dragons.
And you can tell they had been telling the story of Star Wars in pieces every night to the kids, and they had just gotten to the scene in Empire where Darth Vader reveals he's Luke's father. And they instead call Luke the White Knight.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader the Black Knight, I think.
I think so.
Like that. It all becomes medieval.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really care for this movie all that much, but I would say that there were some very effective scenes, and this was one of them.
Yeah, it was a real sweet
moment.
Made
you feel like, why do they care?
Right.
This made you get a little care.
Did do one spectacular thing. It made me enjoy Gerard Butler for a second.
Oh, right. Oh.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean by that. I didn't even realize that was him.
I know.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh.
It took a minute.
There he is.
Yeah.
Because I saw his name in the creds.
He's very Scottish.
He's very Scottish. Yeah. He changed his feet.
It's also the best he has ever looked, I think, too.
Yeah.
No,
I get you.
I mean, appearance-wise.
No, I
mean,
like,
his,
I know.
Yeah. His handsomeness level was at its highest pink.
Okay.
Pink. Is that the size pink?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
But let's get to the part that everybody's waiting for.
Oh.
Is,
yeah.
Sean Connery.
I drove my Lincoln tank up in her. I've got some speeches to whisper to you about killing dragons.
Mm. Oh, now the whole staying character thing that Mike said during Roulette about Corey Feldman. Amy found on the trivia that McConaughey insisted that everybody call him Van Sands the whole time.
And did he just keep talking in speeches to everyone?
Probably. His eyes were watering the entire time.
I got ordered this asparagus this morning, and when I looked into the bright center of the sun and thought about the way my life had turned out, it was just like asparagus.
Asparagus
is a flat circle.
So they see these tanks coming, and it turns out it's McConaughey and his merry band of
Dragon Slayers.
Yeah.
What? Okay, two things, actually. One, Gerard Butler's like, it's not Marauders, it's worse, it's Americans. How did he know it was Americans?
Because the tanks had flags and stuff on them.
I didn't see that.
I don't know.
Then also, how did they get to Scotland or England?
Well, they said they got dropped there by a plane.
So they dropped the tanks, too?
Yeah. That's how they... That's
because everybody survived the jump.
Right. Now, there's a whole argument about it, though. That's what they claim, that the tanks were dropped by plane, and then the British folk are like, there hasn't been a plane in the sky in here, so this is fishy. So I don't know if we know for sure that that's the truth,
right?
But that's what they claim, how they
That's interesting, because that does leave a lot to the imagination. If you sit and think about it, it makes it a more interesting film.
Yeah.
Like maybe they rode the dragons over? That'd be more interesting.
Yeah.
So
they have wouldn't you like to put this in the world of My Little Pony? And instead of dragons, it was My Little Ponies that took over.
Oh.
Yeah. They have to fight My Little Ponies.
Or what if everything is normal everywhere else in the world and English just will not move?
Right. Their land.
It's like when you have a house and it's like infested with roaches and you keep trying to get your roommate to like be there, like no,
like it's almost like they're so pro Brexit that they're like, we will not, even if there's dragons,
right,
we're staying here, we don't want
stand
Muslims.
Our ground,
we can live in this castle.
McConaughey's crew, I'm sorry, Van Zandt, they have a helicopter. And apparently they got a crew of dudes that ride this helicopter and drop nets on dragons and drop them down and kill them. That seems hella dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Point Break. Schwarzenegger was up for the part of Van Zandt.
I believe that. Can I tell you, though? I feel like Schwarzenegger has been up for the role of every... Like, if you ever read any trivia for any, like, sci-fi action movie... there's always a trivia part where they're like, originally Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered for this role.
Do you feel like in a pitch meeting, like they just throw out like when it's supposed to be like a big, strong, like kind of character, there's like, you know, like a Schwarzenegger type.
I think his name,
and then that's
I think his name is just pre-printed on all of those like those tear-off sheet things that you take into a pitch meeting. Like it's just on each page, and that way they can start with that.
Yeah.
They don't even have to write his name up there.
Right. Hero type.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He big and strong.
I got to say, I would have loved to have seen him in this role, though.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he would have made it sillier.
Even sillier, really? I think, is what you mean.
Okay. Well, honestly, I'm not saying like I'd prefer him over McConaughey.
Yeah.
Which is, I came up with a fun idea last night. We were watching this.
Yeah.
I was thinking we would have these cartoon characters.
Okay.
One of them is like a bunch of hay all tied up with string, and it's wearing a white suit, and it has a gold cross and one of those white Bibles with a gold embossing on it. And that's Christian Bale.
Bale and hay.
And then we have another one that has it has a joint in its mouth and it's making whispery speeches, and it's called Matthew McConaughey. hey.
Oh, that is adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Then he...
like at Halloween time when
tell
they
him your chicken joke.
I don't remember my chicken joke.
It's about how Matthew McConaughey, his KFC order is just chicken breast. But he orders it all white.
Oh! Yeah, yeah, that was my other joke last night. Yeah. It's called the Matthew McConaughey meal. It's all white.
Anyway. Oh, so, what happens? This movie was a little blah.
They kind of build a bromance a little bit. A begrudging bromance between the two characters.
Of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a begrudging bromance.
Very begrudging. Because McConaughey wants to take his team out. Okay, help me understand the female-male thing.
So there are all the dragons that are flying around destroying shit are female.
Okay.
And they come with eggs.
Yes.
Like ovum. And they fly around and they destroy shit. There is one male dragon that fertilizes everything like a fish or salmon, and it lives in London. And the females fly around.
Its name is Tom Jones.
And then every so often it comes out and like spreads its Peter juice all over the ground, and it fertilizes. That song plays. It's not unusual to spread sperm on anyone. And then it just fertilizes the dragon stuff, and then they grow more dragons.
More dragons.
So you
what's new, pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So here's what I also thought. So they're like, kill the male, eventually they'll all die off. But like, what if dragons live to be like 100, 150 years?
Well, I guess they were, that's a point, but I guess they were starving.
Yeah.
Because they basically destroyed everything, and they eat ash.
They're just, they love eating ash.
Boy, they eat a lot of ash.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
They're like, if all I could do is eat ash all day.
Eat ash, sell drugs.
Suck a dick. Damn John Mulaney. But yeah, that's their plan. And like, what is funny about this movie, they make the McConaughey's seem like there's some kind of ulterior like motive for them coming in. Like, you keep waiting for the moment where they're going to take over the castle
because they're American
and be like dick faces.
You know, but really Americans
they just want to kill the dragons.
Yeah.
So that moment never happens.
We had this conversation before the show about how it's very similar to like the second season of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Where you have, before they figured out that you could, how dangerous you could make the other people, survivors,
right,
where they're like, I guess they'll work together, that'll be it.
Yeah,
we don't need to make it any more complicated than that.
And there's zombies out there, but they're not here,
right?
Yeah, there's dragons out there, but they're not here,
right? We don't have to deal with them right now.
They're like far away.
I do love the climax.
Well, so because the McConaughey's
the McConaughey family,
I think the plural is McConaughey's
family. McConaughey,
yeah,
they want to go kill the dude dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Bale's like, if you do that, you're going to bring him here.
We're going to call him Charles Dickens.
Because they're going to...
Because he lives in London.
Yes. Because they're going to... The dragons will follow you home. And a dragon will follow you home! That's for you Haunted Mansion fans.
They were very worried about them just drawing dragons to them general.
So the McConaughey's were like, fuck it, we're going to take a bunch of your people. They're going to draft them.
I need men.
Man. And they go, they get fucked up, and they do bring a dragon home.
Yeah.
And it
what'd you
destroys.
Do? Wait, can we keep him?
Well, you gotta feed him.
Mm-hmm.
Your children.
So then McConaughey's like, shit.
No. How is he like? He's like, shit.
Shit. He's like, damn. But then he's like, let's go back and do it again. And Christian Bale's like, all right, I got this. And
he's like,
I know the
bad.
Tunnels.
Because
my mom was a bad mom, and she let me crawl through the tunnels of London when I was a child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
she left me alone with strange minor men who had very loose ideas about what should be done with children.
Like that movie, Minors on Minors.
Yep, exactly. Never leave a minor with a minor.
So he's like, I can get us into London. Let's just do this shit. So they go. They've got explosive arrows.
Yeah.
Christian Bale drops them and loses them.
He's like, whoopsie! So then he has to use his Batman moves, and he fights the dragon with karate.
That's pretty awesome when he has that axe.
Yeah.
You keep waiting for him to use it, and then he gets eaten.
McConaughey got eaten, yeah.
Yeah.
He just jumps right into the dragon's mouth.
You knew that was, like, there was no way you didn't know that McConaughey was going to somehow sacrifice himself. He was not going to make, like, it's
the American way.
I've seen this movie.
He'll put a boot in your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, Toby Keith could have played that part.
Yep, he should have.
Yeah. I will put my boot in a dragon's ass.
Don't forget.
My boot is where a flat were you? Circle.
And he's walking around where the dragon burned everything up, and he's like, I love this char.
This is my kind of char. Eating ass. Char.
They kill the big bad dragon.
Yeah, they do.
And then I think it takes about 3 months for the rest of the dragons to die off.
Yep. Got hungry.
Well, they said they haven't seen one in about 3 months, but they weren't seeing them all the time anyway.
That's true.
So, like, it was probably still a process happening.
Like, Brazil was probably still overrun or something.
I mean,
Was anybody afraid, because this, to me, this movie got real long, that, like, once they killed the dragon, then they were going to do, like, that was not the real Father Dragon.
Yeah.
This is the real Father Dragon.
Well, I was hoping.
Were you hoping? You wanted more dragon?
I was like, let's get another dragon out here.
We were too sleepy for that.
Yeah.
We were like,
eat McConaughey already. Now, you know what I felt like, to talk about, like, to go deeper. Uh-huh. I felt like this is why I mentioned James Brolin. I felt like this movie had a real, like, 70s vibe to it, kind of.
Yeah.
Like one of those late 70s, like, goofy, epic kind of Flash Gordon-y, like, less goofy than that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one else had that feeling.
For me, it was like almost like a Mad Max movie without all the fun.
Well, that's like why I'm having a hard time with your analogy.
It was more of a lifeless Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I wanted there to be more.
It was fun. It was definitely like
I wanted Sean Connery to give him some voices.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like that. That's you guys got what I was saying.
They weren't big enough.
I am the last one.
Yeah,
like the acting.
Doing your best.
It was a little too muted.
Well, yeah.
Yes,
I agree with that because the dynamic between I came here in my Lincoln tank and I'm Batman. Like, they didn't, like, clash enough. Like, pretty much every time Matthew McConaughey would be like, I'm doing this, whether you want me to. I'm going to have sex with all the teenage girls in your compound, because I just keep getting older and they keep getting younger. And Christian Bale's like, no! And he's like, yes. And he's like, okay.
I felt like he was kind of doing a tank girl.
Yeah.
A little bit tank girl.
Yeah, but again, less... But
not as fun.
Tank
boy. This needed to be dragged up.
All right.
You know, it looked like a British TV show the way it was filmed to me.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Like, it looked a lot like, Torchwood or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
Doctor Who.
Or Doctor Who.
Still more fun.
Yeah.
He can't have a movie without. Like, I think there was kind of a metaphor going on, obviously, considering the timing of when this movie happened. And, you know, still, if you're using dragons, make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
just make it fun.
I do think it is very much of its time. Like, you're like, we're, you know, it is very blatantly about 9/11, right?
Right.
Anybody else? I'm like,
well, I mean, it would have had to been in production for. I mean,
do you think that they didn't angle towards that theme more so after the
event? I don't know.
I think it's possible.
There's even the visual reference in the beginning. It looks like the destroyed twin towers where they have the. You know what I'm talking about? They have like the facade, the walls that are split and kind of at an angle.
Yeah.
Like, I think they may have been timid about including any humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they might have cut any of it out like before the final, you know. Also, because it's possible that initially, if this was a metaphor, it could have initially been meant as a metaphor for London after the bombing, the Blitzkrieg.
Oh, yeah, that
and,
too. Yeah.
And then 9/11 happened. They're like, shit, we can really do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's do this now.
I thought it was a little tasteless that they put turbans on the dragons, though.
Yeah, yeah.
A bridge too far. Ron Bowman.
You silly billies.
Yeah. I like my dragons sparkly. Yeah. It's fun. My dragons bright.
I like the dragons. I just wish there should have been more. I would have liked to have seen more like interaction between the humans and the dragon. I feel like there should have been more fighting.
Yeah. The dragon should have talked.
I feel like, well, no, but like I feel like
I like talking dragons.
I know. Me too. And that's okay in some things. I don't think that would have worked here.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have with this.
No, yeah. I like talking dragons. I love, you know, I'm a Tolkien dragon fan. I love Smaug. I love talking dragons.
Smaug.
But I feel like in this there should have been, I wanted a scene where like the dragons are like landing and people are like, going at it with axes and arrows and shit, and
too expensive.
But they mostly didn't do that. Like even when they like did fight the dragon, like mostly the dragons were hidden in clouds.
Yeah. Well, and I think I wonder, you know, in this time period, if you were to look at like the big blockbuster, big technology films, if you would see a lot of this gray used to cover up how digital everything really was.
Well, how close to Starship Troopers was this? What year did this come out? 2001?
2002.
I got it, babe.
Okay. Amy's got it. So,
because with, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No. I will, though. So, like, because to that point, like, Starship Troopers is a movie that is, like, so CGI, which, great CGI still.
It was 97. Yeah.
So, this movie came out a few years later. Starship Troopers, that was constant, like, monster fighting, like, in your face, like, and it looked great. And then this, so like, I feel like they didn't have to do that. I think you might be right, but I'm just saying there's a movie that like did the opposite of that, where they shoved it in your face.
Troopers kind of used like the gore of what was going on, the people and like the green goo and all that stuff to give it a little bit of like weight.
Oh,
you're dealing with dragons, and there's no weight to those dragons.
Sure, no, I get it. I just meant like
they look good
in terms of showing them a lot, and they did look good.
Yeah, they
I was telling Freddy earlier, there were only a couple moments where I had problems with the CGI, and what was interesting was it was moments where they were far away, where like it was just sort of a silhouette. There were a couple times where the movement didn't look very good, but when they were up close, they looked great. I thought.
Yeah,
I just wanted more of them. That's my biggest problem with this movie. I wanted more dragons in my dragon apocalypse movie.
Yeah. Sure.
It smells like broccoli in here.
Smells like broccoli. When I came into the room. And I don't have a good McConaughey either. I'm sorry. I don't have any good impressions today.
That's all right. You don't have to be on every day.
Mm-mm.
You just do your best.
Just when I'm on, best, just the one Kelly. Time a week when I'm on the show, maybe?
That's it. Rain of Fire, you guys. First movie of our apocalyptic theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How fun. Okay.
Dot.
I love the end of the world.
As we know it.
Anytime.
I feel fine.
Yeah.
Oh, ding!
You guys. So many high fives today. It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if we're done talking about Rain of Fire.
We are, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
I liked it.
It's fine. It's perfectly crumbling. I fell
into a burning rain of fire.
It's not a bad movie.
Burns. No. That rain of fire.
Mm-hmm. That rain of fire. Why? They missed out on an opportunity.
They sure did.
Yeah.
That's how they should have closed out instead of that generic,
like
goofy new metal shit they closed out on. It should have been Ring of Fire.
Yeah, it was a goofy.
That would have really given it, like, it would have classed it up a little bit.
Of all the movies that could have done with a classic kind of metal sound instead of a new metal sound at the end, because it's got the dragons already.
Yeah, it should have been all Iron Maiden all the time.
Yeah. Or it could have been Iron Maiden or King Diamond.
King
or
Diamond.
Oh.
Rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Bring that shit in there.
Now.
Rescore the whole movie.
Project.
Yeah.
Let's just, in fact, just take out all the dialogue in general.
Undo the bleach bypass process so that it doesn't look like Saving Private Ryan anymore.
Cut it to mostly dragons.
Yeah. And then have King Diamond score it.
And Sean Connery be the voices for all the dragons.
Sean Connery will be the voices of the dragons.
Oh, we'll just do it ourselves.
Yeah.
We'll just put a bunch of Rush and...
Do you like to do it yourself? Why? Anytime anybody says that, I gotta say that.
I agree.
In my head or out loud.
I do it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now is the time on our show.
Where we dance.
And say hi to our Beelzebubs on Patreon.com, our beautiful babies. All right. right, we're going to start with Jimmy B.
You ever see one of the male Jimmy Bees?
Jeremy.
That's a Rain of Fire reference.
And Cassie.
They both eat ash. I've seen them do it. eat each other's ash.
Deadeye!
You know what I'm saying? Oh, Deadeye. I was so happy to send a package to South Africa.
We haven't sent
However,
it yet.
Yeah. I need your shirt size, not your address.
Right.
I need the news, not the weather.
I need your clothes and your bike.
Amanda.
Uh-oh.
Anybody got anything for Amanda?
Keep both eyes on this guy.
Okay. Dale.
Dale, I'm all out of juice. I'm all out of juice, Dale.
Yeah, but if you go to Whorehound, you can wheeze the juice.
Oh, you can, because Pauly Shore's coming.
Pauly Shore.
Big and Christina Ricci. Can we get them in a movie together?
And Christopher Ricci's Lloyd.
Is mm-hmm. Neve Campbell still going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My understanding.
That
it's what he
is
understands.
Exciting.
Mandy, do you find that exciting?
Like Sidney Prescott's mom?
Mandy, did you notice in Rain of Fire, if you watched it, I hope you did, that McConaughey's group was called the Kentucky Irregulars?
I didn't notice, but I believe you.
Yeah. Need more fiber.
Do you think Adam noticed?
I bet he did. If anyone can spot a Kentucky Irregular from a mile away, it's Adam.
Brooke? All white meat. That's Brooke. And a Diet Coke.
I don't know if she is or not.
I don't either. Ernest!
Ernest burned my entire village to the ground.
Tree and Alex.
You know the thing about dragons is they can see great during the day.
Yeah.
And they can see great at night.
Mm-hmm.
But right around dinner time, they're like, can you give me my glasses?
Their eyes get hungry.
It's magic hour.
Just like
it's
Tree and Alex. Hour. Magic.
Brandon Boone.
Hey, Brandon, I need your new address.
Okay.
For anyone who can send it to
your house down.
Or that.
Yeah.
Bill.
Sniff your hair.
Hey, Bill.
Howdy, Bill. I've been cracking up the trivia with Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, Bill, that a lot of the questions are just gobbledygook nonsense and they have the wrong options laid out for you and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't go with the subject often.
They need better
art is almost
control.
Never about art.
No, it's never about art.
Blake.
Blake, what do you think about replacing McConaughey with Schwarzenegger? Hear me out. And replacing Bale with. Are you ready for this? Not Keenan, but Kel.
Oh!
They're going to have to go find the office that he's working in right now.
Yeah. The Good Burger. A Good Burger Kel with the dreads.
Yeah.
Mark.
So, Mark, you really, really made your mark on my heart.
And the Lady Combrink, Elise.
Yeah, she slayed my dragon. Today.
You know what my favorite quote from Rain of Fire is?
What?
Good morning, Quinn. How's it going, mate?
I love that that's one that they pulled out.
Yeah.
I would actually love to see Rain of Fire, not with Kel, but with Keenan.
Yeah.
That would be fun. As a dragon.
As,
Oh, he could voice the dragons.
Yeah.
What are you doing? The rent is too damn high!
Fix it.
That's
all right, everybody.
What's up with that?
Ooh wee T Shane.
Oh, sorry, Lindsey Buckingham.
And other Keenan references from Saturday Night Live.
I feel like Saturday Night Live is like 80% Keenan.
If he ever went away, I'd be so
when
sad.
It's good.
Yeah.
I love him.
I do too. Before we close out, I just want to tell you that a lot of times, like, my afternoon is me just spending an hour or two watching Saturday Night Live clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like really hoping that Keenan's in them.
Do you ever wish
Keenan and Kate McKinnon? It should just be them and like a couple other people.
That Tim Meadows would just come back.
Yeah.
He was the best.
He's a great utility player.
He was the other person who was on there forever.
Yeah.
He was on.
Well, Bobby Moynihan's spent quite a bit of time.
He did. But I mean, compared to Keenan and...
Did you watch the Thanksgiving special?
Yeah.
Some of it.
Well, yeah.
That was really good. I forget how many great...
Yeah, Debbie Downer.
Oh, wow, wow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
So great.
Yeah.
It's good. It's on Hulu.
Hulu. All right. Anything else before we go, guys? What are we doing next week?
Ooh. We haven't decided yet. We will. Surprise.
Sometimes we may not get there.
We could have some lunch and decide over lunch.
Well.
Have some brupper.
All right.
So, listeners, thank you for sitting through that like last little bit of yeah. gobbledygook.
What a hero.
Gosh. And
you are.
We're glad you're listening.
Yes. We're thankful for you.
Oh, yeah. It's like Thanksgiving was a while ago, but mm-hmm. we're still thankful.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. I can be thankful whenever I want.
You can be thankful every day. Thanksgiving is every day.
Thanksgiving is every day, just like our 13th anniversary.
That's right.
It's every day.
Thankful. Have to make a turkey every day.
Every day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Give me love.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old